The season, obviously, as we said many times, as you well know, was a roller coaster. I think this offseason could very well be a roller coaster, Drapes. They're getting who? I heard they're getting this guy. I heard they might trade for this guy. Oh, Malik's gone. No, he's staying. What's going on with Malik? Right. It's going to be hopefully a lot of fun. Hopefully we end up in a place we all feel good about.
Hopefully it's not painful. You know, sad. Losing Malik and then don't replace him or anything like that. Somebody from the 916 says trade for DeMar DeRozan. HB, Cage, and two first rounders. First of all, DeMar is a free agent. So I think he's going to have the pick of the litter wherever he wants to go.
Yeah.
And his age. Right. I love DeMar DeRozan.
I do too.
He's a tremendous guy and tremendous player.
I could have seen maybe trading for him last year at the deadline, short term. But
listen, are you looking at this text line? Did you see the second one?
Uh-huh.
What are people talking about? There is zero chance this would happen, right? Should we read this out loud or do we entertain this kind of nonsense?
Like we said, we welcome all opinions. We just reserve the right to make fun of any of them.
From the 831, I would keep eyes on Devin Booker. Rumblings that he needs a change of scenery.
Stop.
Phoenix needs more quality depth. We can offer that.
Rumblings.
Is that Monty McNair's burner account or somebody?
What's the 831?
Where's that at? 831. I don't know, man. Devin Booker? They would trade their entire team outside of Devin Booker before they trade Devin Booker.
831 is Monterey.
Monterey.
I just want to make sure. Yeah.
The owner
Herm
just
Edwards
bought
checking in.
Santa Cruz and stuff.
Dude, like, there's zero chance Devin Booker would be on the move. If you trade anybody, like, you would trade the entire Phoenix Suns roster before you trade. Devin Booker's the one piece you build around.
Have you heard the talk that Kevin Durant in Phoenix, they're not sure he really wants to win and they're concerned about that?
No, I haven't heard that. Who said that? Did you read that on Reddit or something like that?
No, I did not. I think there was a writer on with Stiles and Watkins who said something about a writer from the Phoenix area. I don't know. To me, you know how these things kind of snowball? To me, it's like if I have Kevin Durant on my team, I'm not worried. I think I'm pretty confident that he wants to win.
That's what I'm saying.
Who's this
Yahoo that they had on? Like, this is a guy, if somebody really said that, his credentials need to be revoked. He can't come on Sacktown Sports 1140 ever again. Like, it's some ridiculous takes that are out there. Kevin Durant doesn't want to win.
The only thing the Kings can do to improve the team is trade Keegan, Herter, Barnes, picks, and change for better players. Mikal Bridges from the 707. That's a lot of guys to replace.
Right, right. You traded four guys and picks.
What's that, throwing out the Herter with the bathwater?
Let's have a quick conversation, Whitey, before we move on about the draft picks.
Yeah.
Because we did not make the playoffs, we cannot trade next year's draft pick, the following year's draft pick, 2026.
Because we don't know.
When
the pick, the Herter pick,
the first rounder. Now, if it doesn't convey in 2026, I think it is, it turns into 2 second rounders after that.
Right.
So the earliest I think we could trade, if I'm doing my math correct, is 2027. If I'm correct,
I would think that if the Kings, they had some big deal brewing that involved a couple future picks, that they might go to Atlanta and say, look, just take the pick now and we'll sweeten the pot for you, right? I mean, there are ways they can get Atlanta to agree to, all right, it conveys now.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah, especially because when it's protected, you're protecting it.
Right.
So if you say, we'll waive the protection if you want it.
We may find out with this lottery pick. Let's say it's number 11. Well, we wouldn't get that. Let's say it's 13. Atlanta might say, you know what? You probably will make the playoffs and, you know, we'll take it now.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
And maybe that frees you up to do something.
But, yeah, so that's a possibility.
But you would also have to sweeten it as well, because why would Atlanta do that to help you out? Like, because you're calling them, hey, why don't you guys?
It would depend who they liked and,
give me a second round or two on top of it.
But this pick is one you can trade this year.
Yes, because it's yours now. It's not Atlanta's anymore. It is actually your pick. We know it's your pick.
And I know we were just talking to Jay about this. It seems now in today's NBA, if you want to acquire a quality player,
dude,
I mean, the going price is multiple first-round picks. I think that's right. One reason why the Kings didn't do anything at the deadline.
Rudy Gobert.
Because guys were it's like multiple second-round picks for guys that were like, okay.
Donovan Mitchell, Kevin Durant. Look at all these packages. Like, teams want young players and picks.
By the way, 831 on the Devin Booker says, I'm glad I could give you guys a good laugh. You're welcome.
Thanks
for listening.
Needed that in the final hour of the show.
I'll be listening for those rumblings. Maybe there's something there.
Man.
Big Devin Booker fan.
Huge Devin Booker fan.
But it costs a lot. If you're going to trade, and it looks like if the Kings really want to be much improved next year, they have to trade, right?
They got
to
trade.
That's what they want.
We're talking much improved. And I keep going back to Keegan Murray. Who is he going to be when it's all said and done? Is he Kyle Kuzma? And would we take that? 20-point-per-game scorer? Long? You know, we know Keegan can defend. I think we take that. But if we don't think Keegan can become that, then you need that another big-name guy, a Zach LaVine or something like that. But I will say this, too, Whitey.
I'm warming up to Zach LaVine, and
I can't believe it. Because I look at and I keep bringing up Boston, but they got, like, five guys that are studs. We're talking about just trying to get a third stud. Why can't Keegan be a stud and we bring in another stud?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Boston's tax bill is going to be outrageous, obviously, when you're paying Tatum 60, Jaylen Brown 60. You just signed Drew Holiday for 30. Derek White's up as well. You got to pay him. Porzingis is at 25 to 30 or whatever it is. So are we willing to pay that much too, Vivek?
Mm-hmm.
That's.
So Malik's going to be a huge story this offseason. Acquisitions, roster additions, going to be a huge story. Mike Brown's not going to be a story, right?
No, zero. Mike Brown is here, big fella.
Yeah, thank you.
Vivek is not doing anything. He's going to sign him to the extension. Mike Brown is the guy in the franchise you could be proud of. Mike Brown is not going anywhere.
When we come back, the scariest thing about the Kings and their future. Drive Guys, Sacktown Sports. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Ozzy Osbourne, if you've never heard it. Do yourself a favor and listen to Ozzy singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game at a Cubs game. I think that was when Harry Carey was disabled. He was recovering from a stroke, and they had celebrities come in, and Ozzy did it one day, and I still have no idea what he was saying. Kyle Draper, got Jay, keeping us on track. Whitey Gleason, continuing with this Kings offseason. Where do they go from here? We're diving into free agent possibilities, trade possibilities. But here's the scariest thing, if we're going to keep it real here, about where the Kings are right now. The scariest thing about the Kings, they're stuck for now on the doorstep of something special, says The Athletic. They have foundational players such as Fox and Sabonis, whose presence raises their collective floor, but they lack the sort of dynamic talent, even potentially at the top end, and depth that would elevate them to true contention.
Dang.
So that's what the Kings have to – not only do you want to get better, you want to avoid being stuck in the NBA middle where you're not good enough to compete, nor are you bad enough to collect the assets that help you get up
to
the upper echelons.
Right. You don't want to be in that middle, you know.
Right.
Like no future, no hope.
We won 44 games again.
Right,
yeah.
Right. That's – no, exactly. And that's what the Atlanta Hawks are right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, they got some high-level talent, some big contracts, but it doesn't equate to wins. And if you're Sacramento, like you said, you don't want that to become you, where you have big contracts. A couple of years, you're going to have to re-sign De'Aaron Fox at $50 million or whatever it may be. And so I agree with that. The question is, too, can you win a championship? We're talking championship with De'Aaron and Domas as your top guys. And I ask this because I feel like when you look at past champions, those guys are top five players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, think about how great Jason Tatum is. He hasn't won a title yet. Donovan Mitchell, he hasn't won a title yet. All these great players. Luka Doncic, as great as he is, he hasn't won a title. So to win a championship, you have to have that dude night in and night out. Can De'Aaron become that? That's a good question. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He's shown flashes. Like, look at this. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he's that dude right now, mm-hmm. right? Like, is De'Aaron on that level yet?
No.
Just a little behind, right?
Yeah, like, Shai is an MVP candidate this year. He's not going to get it, right. but he's legitimately in the discussion. Yeah. De'Aaron Fox has never been anywhere near that.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. I think, and this may sound crazy, I think running the offense through Domas doesn't give us the best version of De'Aaron Fox. I'm looking at Jalen Brunson, ball in his hands all the time. He's doing it all, scoring, making teammates better. Do we need to put more responsibility on De'Aaron Fox so that he's just not a scorer? You know what I mean?
Until he can consistently shoot better from the three-point line. But I understand your point.
You see what I mean? Like,
I do.
When you're the guy,
yeah.
you have the ball in your hand.
Uh-huh.
And we've seen Fox have the ball in his hand late in games.
That is definitely what's for him, that's the natural way to play.
Right.
You can see that.
With the ball in his hands,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I think. And, you know, there was some talk late in the season with Keon out there and everything that De'Aaron moving off the ball, having him off the ball was a good thing. I don't know. I would really like to see De'Aaron maybe with the ball in his hands a lot more, to be honest with you.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Jeff has been on hold. He joins the Drive Guys now. Hello, Jeff. What can we do for you?
How are you guys doing? I always love to hear you. I almost thought you were drinking there because you're playing Monopoly and this drunken sailor wanted to spend money going crazy. I mean, we need to be like the Denver Nuggets.
Huh.
Okay? They don't have a high, expensive payroll. Yeah, Jokic, we've got our two players. What did we accomplish this year? I mean, if someone told me at the beginning of the year that we're going to be top 15 in defense, I would say, what are you smoking? We're going to be known on our offense. We did a good job in an area of improving on defense. Now we got to fine-tune an offensive player. Domas needs a 3-and-D center-type person next to him so that he can feed him for a three-point shot, and then he can be down low defending. They're going to get better that way. They don't need Levine. Sorry, we're not paying $60 million a year. You might as well bankrupt Sacramento.
Thank you, Jeff. It's a very impassioned view. Denver, by the way, has, I think they're pretty much capped out.
They got a high payroll. They're at 180-some million.
But here's the problem with Denver, guys. And this is, give the Calvin Booth and that front office a lot of credit. They got guys like Peyton Watson, Christian Brown playing major minutes for mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
They've hit on their draft picks. So you're allowed, when you, it's sort of like the Warriors have been trying to do over
years.
You
it was a matter of necessity.
End. Yeah, exactly. To fill out the roster. But they got guys that are young that are actually playing meaningful minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's our young meaningful minutes? We got Keegan and Davion. After that, there's not much else out there.
You know, we talk a lot about this team's culture and that team's culture.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about the Nuggets culture.
Yeah.
I think they must have a pretty good one. Whether they call it that or not, to the point you just made, they bring in young guys and they get production out of them. And they won a championship and they're competing for another one. I think that Mike Malone has established, whether anyone wants to call it that or not, he's established a really solid culture there.
Yes, he has. And, I will say, too, you talk to anybody in Denver, Nikola Jokic is the hardest worker out there.
And like, he's a very selfless. He's kind of like Tim Duncan.
Yeah, exactly. And he's super selfless. Like, we talked about, and he's a hard worker. And so I don't know what the answer is for Sacramento. You know, we got Domas at, $40 million a year, for the next 3 years. You got De'Aaron that's going to come up. You got Keegan. That's our core right there. Who accentuates that? Who fits in? We know Malik does. After that, I'm open to any kind of changes.
Mm-hmm.
I think my boy Zach LaVine would be perfect. And here's why. Zach has never been a part of a big stage championship level situation. He comes here to Sacramento. First of all, you got a big man that can set you up. Second of all, you got another guy that can, you know, score at all three levels. Third of all, when you look at Keegan Murray and what he's doing, he's ascending, the knockdown shooter. I think Zach LaVine's exactly what we need, guys. You know what? We're talking 3-and-D guys and everything like that. Unless you're going out there and getting a prime LeBron James, all the other guys we're talking about are solid players, Najee Marshall, good players, but do they make us championship contenders?
Next year,
I don't want to hear the money. because it's not my pocket. And we're already maxed out cap-wise. We can't pay anything anyway.
Well, that's it. That's my point.
But you could trade the contracts that are comparable. You know what
you
I mean?
You don't want to know how much he's getting next year?
47?
No, it's only 43.
Oh, that's it?
And then 45 the next, 45.9. Then he has a...
Is it a player option?
He has a player option for 48.9. I think he'll probably exercise it. Don't you?
Let me. But here's the thing, Whitey and Jay. To do business and be a championship contender, you can't just stick at the salary cap. You got to go into the tax. You got to. We can look it up now.
The luxury tax.
I mean, just go off of Denver. You know, Jeff said Denver, they're right now, they have the sixth highest payroll in the NBA at $181 million. Next year, they'll move up a couple. They'll move up to 190, and they'll move up to number four. So that's what it takes, Drapes, to get a championship. Boston is number two. You know,
right. But to get him under the cap, don't I, as you said, I would have to move things. I'd have to get guys off the books, right? So I have.
Well, you're trading.
I'm going to have to give up a lot to get him. Do I have enough left? It's like when Kobe they wanted to trade him. He wanted to go to the Bulls. And the Lakers would say, okay, we'll trade you to the Bulls, and then we're going to get this guy and that guy and that guy. And Kobe realized, if they trade me to the Bulls are going to be terrible. I don't want to go to the Bulls.
Yeah, but
you think it's going to take that much to get Zach LaVine?
Just in terms of matching the salary is what I'm saying.
But here's the thing, Wade.
You have to give up a lot.
Herter and Barnes, that's a start. Now we're almost to 40 million.
That's 13 and...
No. That's 17, 5, and 16. We're almost to 30. Now
that's
we're talking.
That's like 34 million.
Yeah, we're close.
Right there. Those two.
Bye. I'm bunny rabbits.
And I'll also say this. When you show that you're in a position to compete for a championship, a la Milwaukee with Malik Beasley, or you can get guys. Look at LeBron in Miami, the way he got guys to come on the cheap. You could do that with Sacramento, and you still got your mid-level exception
I understand.
Well.
I agree with you both. I'm just saying I want to make sure I know, because it's not like right now I have this roster that is just overflowing with talent. So if I have to give up a lot to get a guy, I just want to know what I'm giving up. And I understand your point, Jay. If I have to give up Herter, Barnes, okay. All right, I'm willing to do that.
We're 3/4 steer, White. Yeah, we're 3/4 steer. We're close.
I just want to know what else if I have to give up something that's going to hurt. Because I'm already, like I say, my roster already needs improvement.
Yes.
Yeah. Zach LaVine. I can't believe that's where we are today.
Yeah. Yes. I'm excited about Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
Let me real quick here.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the team's cap space, their salary cap this year. Golden State, number one. Obviously, they did not, they put out the money but didn't get the results. Clippers. Contender. Timberwolves.
Are you talking about cap space or salary?
Salary.
Okay.
Clippers.
Money, yeah.
Timberwolves. Suns. I have no idea why the Wizards are on this list. Wizards, fifth highest payroll this year.
That's money well spent.
No.
Milwaukee
Bucks.
Aren't they still paying partial of Bradley's Bills money?
Oh, yeah.
As well?
Yeah, I think so. I think.
And Kuzma got a big deal.
Jordan Poole's deal. Milwaukee Bucks. Boston Celtics. Denver Nuggets, Lakers, Sixers. You see what I mean?
I do.
I just named 10 teams. 9 of them are championship contenders. You gotta spend money, man.
No, I agree.
You can't just be at the regular, salary cap. That's where we're at.
And you've been told that they are willing to do that, right?
Yes, this was back in January. And I don't know what the situation now is, especially with the Sacramento A's coming to town and whatever money that may tie up or whatever. I was told back in January the cap, they would be willing to go over the cap.
Now, that was Carmichael Dave or somebody.
No. I'm not revealing anything. I'm not. But that's what I was told. I don't know if that's still accurate, but back then, that's what I was told.
When we come back, what is an NBA Awards finalist anyway? And we'll continue to sort this out. We're so close to solving all the Kings
yes.
problems. Yes. Day one of the offseason. Drive, guys.
Yeah, man, it's big because I can go somewhere else with a lot more money and be in a worse situation. So you never know. And like I said, I got a great agent that's going to do his job. I think my job is done. I did what I needed to do this year. And it's going to play out. I think it's going to play out in the right way.
Hopefully it plays out in the right way for Kings and Kings fans. Malik Monk, who yesterday was announced as a finalist for the NBA Sixth Man of the Year Award. Correct me if I'm wrong, Drapes.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear that, oh, he's a finalist. That would imply that, ooh, he could win this thing. But I believe the voting's done, isn't it?
Yeah, the voting's
done. He's like a top. That means he's top three.
Yes, top three. And it will be announced on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So the voting's done.
I don't like that when they do that. Say, here are the finalists. Because that implies like, ooh, it could go to one of these guys. Well, it's going to who it's going to. It's already a done deal.
Well,
he's not.
He's a top three.
Yeah,
it's one of those three guys.
That. He was going to finish in the top three. To say finalist, like if you're a finalist for a job, that means, ooh, I could get it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he.
But it's already
he
might decided.
Have no chance.
Right.
That's what I don't. Baseball started doing that a few years ago.
Yeah.
I don't care for it.
Right.
I feel like they're trying to manipulate me a little bit.
Maybe they are. They're trying to get you hype. Like, uh-oh, our guy might still. And they already know you're saying. They already know the answer.
Right. Right.
Dude, that's what the NBA is about, though, creating some drama, some excitement.
You want drama? You want this? You want my trade, my Zach LaVine trade?
Yes.
Because, you know, we remember this, and Kings fans remember this. There was a lot of talk around January of the Bulls have an interest in Kevin Huerter.
Yes.
So if you go to the old trade machine and you go, all right, Zach LaVine to Sacramento for Kevin Huerter, Harrison Barnes, and Trey Lyles, this trade is successful. So financially, the finances on that work out. Do the Bulls want those guys? We don't know. We do know that there were reports in January that they had some level of interest, the Bulls that is, in Kevin Huerter. So,
you know me. I'm all in on Zach LaVine.
You're also all in on the guys on the team now.
Oh, of course. Those are all my guys.
You always have been a big HB guy.
No, HB is my guy, man.
Yes.
He's a guy that, you know, is a pro's pro, consummate professional. With that being said, I'm looking at Zach LaVine. 29 years old, just turned 29. From Renton, Washington. If you've ever been to Renton, Washington, you know.
Is that near Kirkland, Washington?
It might be near Kirkland, Washington. Tough little area. This is a guy who, for his career, averages 20.5 points per game. And people say, oh, Drapes, he only shot 35% from three this year.
By the way, anytime anyone disagrees with Kyle Draper, they talk like a total idiot, apparently.
But last year, he shot 37.5. The year before that, 39. Year before that, 42%. So he can shoot the three. He's a good, very good three-point shooter, is Zach LaVine. 38% for his career. And he's a multiple-time All-Star who, as Jay mentioned, you might not have to break the bank in terms of assets to go get. You mentioned, trying to match salaries and the players, but maybe two first-round picks? Would you guys out there do that? What do you mean?
No, it's a lot. That's all I mean.
Hey, man, it might be the price of business. We have to decide, are we content with just being 45, 46, 47 wins, or are we looking at 56, 57, 60 wins? Who do we want to be, Sacramento? That's our question right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just listed, was this on camera or off? On air or not? The 10 teams with the highest payroll this past season.
Yeah, we just did that.
We just did that. Nine of them are championship contenders, championship aspirations, legitimately. The one outlier, the Washington Wizards. Poor cap management for them. But if you want to be a champion, you got to spend the money, man. And so I don't want to hear, oh, this guy makes $48 million. If he brings you a championship, it's worth it. Look at the Golden State Warriors. And what they've done over the last 10 years. They were routinely a luxury tax team. Ask Joe Lacob if he had to do it all over again, would he do it? Hell yeah, he would do it. So don't tell me, oh, I don't want to get this guy. He costs too much. We're already up against the cap. Basically, you're telling me you want to run it back if you say you don't want to bring in a guy who's making $40 million and a guy like Zach LaVine. That's just my point. I don't know.
Yeah, I understand, but you have to look at it, you know, big picture. If you're giving up two number ones to get him, okay, that's exciting now, but I'm giving up basically a big part of my future for a guy that has been injured and maybe declining, and I have to pay him a lot of money for the next, what, three-plus years? So I'm basically saying this is my future, and if it works, great. If it doesn't, that's going to be a tough one to get out from under. Tyler Conway of Bleacher Report wrote back in around the trade deadline time, the Bulls would likely need significant additions to any LaVine trade centered on Herter and Barnes. Herter is only in the second season of a four-year, $65 million deal. There are too many quality shooters in the NBA at this point to justify paying more than $16 million a year to a shoot-first player, not even making a third of his threes.
Nah, but see, I could argue Kevin Herter is a big part of our future going forward. Sure, he had a down season this year. He got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But the year before? And he's still relatively young. What's Kevin Herter, 27? If that? Come on, man. Everybody trying to jettison my guy. Kevin Herter was an integral part last year for the Sacramento. Did he have a down season? Yes. But you know who else had a down season? Keegan Murray. Are we looking to get rid of him? Like, a number of guys had down seasons. And so if you're Monty McNair, who's the real Kevin Herter? Who do you, is it what we saw this year or last year? And you have to decide that.
Kevin Herter's 25.
20? So you're trying to tell me we trained a 25-year-old sharpshooter?
A guy.
Man, those guys don't grow on trees, fellas.
Coming off a, and I'm just looking at it from the other team's perspective, coming off a bad year and an injury. Here's more just from Tyler Conway. LaVine's contract, which runs through 26-27 and pays him more than $40 million a year, is the biggest obstacle in the Bulls exploring his trade market, right? That's a tough contract to
trade. That scares a lot of people.
However, having one overpaid borderline all-star is better than two overpaid role players, in this writer's opinion.
Dang.
Yeah.
Was that about our guys?
Yes.
Those
would be the two overpaid role players in this scenario. Doesn't mean he's right, but it would mean that, you know, and it sounds like the Kings were trying to get somebody to bite on a package with those two, and either they didn't like what they were getting back or no one was that interested.
I don't, well, first of all, that contract scares a lot of people.
Yes.
But when you are a small market,
might not have to give up as
much. Right. But and when you are a small market, how else are you going to get those caliber players?
You're right.
You're not signing nobody in the free agency to that kind of offer sheet.
Right.
You're not getting that. You don't have that cap space. Basically, when you look at the Kings, and I think we've all agreed, you need upper level talent. Well, you're not going to find upper level talent at $18 million. You're going to have to pay to get upper-level talent. Jaylen Brown ain't going to be on the market. They're not trading Jaylen Brown. If Jaylen Brown, then you do that. You have to take some guys with some warts and hope that when they come here, unless you just want to build through the draft. And I think we're past that point.
You're right. There's three options at this point. One is you stay on the path that you're on now.
Okay.
Right? What we last year, you don't do much. You win games. You 40-something wins. Maybe you get into playoffs. You're in that middle ground, right? That's one option. You could stay with that. Two, you could swing for the fences trying to get Zach LaVine or whoever, Jeremy Grant, make a trade that you're going to maybe mortgage some of your future but bring in that big star.
Yes.
Or three, like you just said, or you tear it down and tank and rebuild through the draft. Those are your three options.
Those are your three options.
That's really that's the only three ways you could go from here.
Right. But what's the more likely scenario? The last option, you're not tearing it down. You're not building through the draft. You're not
doing that.
And the first option.
Stay the course.
Stay the course. Will the fan base accept that?
We saw how they accepted it this year.
Right. It was rough.
Yeah.
And I don't think the fan base will be comfortable with another offseason of not making major moves.
I agree.
Like, this fan base is, let's be honest, impatient right now.
Mm-hmm.
They want it now.
You don't want to be what the Pacers were before they traded Domas, which was, I think, 4 years in a row, first round and out.
Right. Well, take a look at the Pacers. They're a prime example. They went for it. They're going to re-sign Pascal Siakam. Is it enough to get them a championship? I don't know. Probably not.
But they're relevant.
But they're relevant. They're going for it. They will be in the playoffs without question the next 5 years. Tyrese is only going to get better. Mathurin's only going to get better. They're set. We didn't even make the playoffs this year.
Mm-hmm.
Something drastic might have to be done, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
Something. I don't know what it is, but just being patient. Being patient and letting it grow might not get you in the playoffs next year. Can we have another year of not making the postseason?
Well, that's the other thing. I agree with you about building through the draft, like tanking, tearing it down. Orlando did that, and it didn't work. This is like their second
it
try.
It took a while, yes.
And where's this going to go? It looks like they're in a good place right now, but we don't know how good that team is. But remember with Vucevic and Aaron Gordon?
Yeah, they had did some talent. And it didn't
really work.
But fellas, that they missed on the picks.
Yes.
They missed on their top tier. I mean, as
on
far
Gordon?
As like top.
On Vucevic?
They were good players, but it just
as far
work.
As like superstar.
They never found the guy.
Yeah, the guy. Okay. Yeah.
Like Paolo maybe is.
Like Paolo's the guy. Like,
it's
I don't think you can
argue. He's galvanized.
That.
He's put it all together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Paolo's. Like to them, I think they see him as. Maybe 3-4 years down the road, once all you know, the KDs, the LeBrons, the, all those guys are. We expect Paolo to be going head to head with Booker's and Jason Tatum.
Right, right.
Like I think they expect that. I don't. When Aaron Gordon kind of got hurt, you know, I think their trail kind of veered off a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Look at OKC. They're doing it right. Correct. It's a wonderful job they've done.
Taking
they
too
take,
long,
they
no lady.
But
OKC taking too long.
Man, they've.
They
garnered like
a
100 picks. Well, I think now though, but they've kind of garnered. You know, it's been 10 years.
But you know what they did?
You know?
They traded a star to get at the time a future star.
Truth.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For all the great picks they've made, they built this team. The guy who was the man there is
that
the guy they traded for.
Exactly.
They didn't draft him.
A young guy with potential.
Yes.
Who's that next guy then? And are we willing to make a big trade like that? Mm-hmm. I don't think. They
think
gave away
to.
Paul George, though. But we don't have Paul George. We're trading to get that young guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's frustrating. That's right. Dude, we've been doing the show for 3 hours and 40 minutes and still have not come up with the answer yet for the Kings.
When we come back, what a year it's been since the A's announced they were moving to Vegas. And I'm sure we'll have more thoughts on where the Kings go from here. With the Drive Guys on, Zach Towns. Can you believe it? According to my sources, it was exactly a year ago that the A's announced they were moving to Las Vegas. And here we are a year later, and it seems like, I don't know where they're going, but it doesn't look like they're going to Las Vegas.
I know. Is this thing falling apart? Like, the whole narrative, like, the vibe has changed. Like,
yeah.
Who do you sent it to me in the text, you and Jay. Who was it that said, until I see shovels in the ground and
Jeff Passan
going up.
Jay sent that.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah. It almost looks like the A's knew that, all right, we have to get a stadium deal agreed to by January whatever in order to continue to get money from Major League Baseball. We don't really want to go there, but we have to have the plan in place so we can continue to be a revenue sharer. So I don't know. Maybe they've been taking MLB for a ride as well. In addition to the rest of us.
I wouldn't be surprised, right? Knowing John Fisher and the way he operates, I would not be surprised.
And can you believe a year from now, presumably, whenever the Kings season ends next year, who knows how far it'll go. But then we'll be talking about the Sacramento A's, I think.
This time next year, right?
Yeah.
And what'd you say?
Sacramento.
They beat the Yankees today?
2-0.
Dude, think about our reaction this time next year when they beat the Yankees. We're going to get fitted for rings. We're going to talk about parades and everything. Like, seriously, this would be huge news today.
Kotze doesn't know what he's doing, guys.
I know, right?
They need to dump Kotze.
That would be, oh, man. This time next year, it could be wild around here.
And,
Kings in the playoffs.
I think it's this Saturday that The Oakland 68s.
Last Saturday?
They will be out at Sutter Health Park, and they'll be protesting.
27th, yep.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's Saturday.
No, yeah. Shoot. Yeah. Sell.
I know. I'm going to have to go to a game soon, though, at Sutter Health. I've only been once.
I want to go to a game with him because, you know, he really knows baseball.
And he's the mayor of Sacramento. Everybody know Jay. Jay's like, yeah, come on, guys.
City of Trees.
City of Trees.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys are telling me, and it's funny because I've gone over this, I guess, outlook of what the A's could be in the next 2 or 3 years. And I always tell myself, like, this is just temporary. Mm. This isn't permanent. But I also understand and I have the belief that Vivek is no fool.
Right.
I believe he made the play with knowing there may be another play down the road that may assist him in bringing the A's here.
Yeah.
If that is to happen, now, man, listen, I'm the happiest Oakland A fan that ever could be.
I'm with you, Jay. I think, you know, and somebody on the YouTube chat said Vivek isn't playing checkers. He's playing chess. Hmm. I think so. And because he's publicly stated bringing a second major professional team here has been his goal,
mm-hmm.
you know. And what's interesting, not to change subjects, guys, but along the same lines, you see the Phoenix Coyotes, the Arizona Coyotes.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City.
Yep.
Could that have been us?
Yes. He was in on that.
Right.
He tried.
He tried, right?
But it was, I think one of the biggest problems was the Golden One was the setup for hockey was like, did not work there, because
really?
where some of the seats were,
like, you couldn't push them back enough, out. Right?
Yeah. Okay.
But
I don't know if it had any chance, but that was a killer.
Let's make sure we put this out there because he bid and then removed the bid.
That's right.
He said that he was going to keep the team there, though.
Oh,
like
there.
He was not moving the team.
Oh.
He was not going to move the team.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
He was not. That's what he's on record as saying, he would not move the team.
Yes.
Man.
Which we, again, a play to make a play. You can't tell me he's not trying to bring that team this way.
Jay said a play to make a play. That's interesting. I don't know, man. I'm getting more on board and excited about baseball here in Sacramento. I know we're still a year away, or now less than a year. But I think it's going to change the whole vibe of the city, especially summertime.
This is a great baseball time.
Yeah, I think so. And I understand it's not a good franchise in terms of wins and losses, but they've actually had, and I need to look this up, but I think they've had a respectable start to this season.
14, something like
that. You know, that's...
And it's really the Guardians. The Guardians keep whooping on them. You know, they're doing fantastic against everybody else. They've lost 6, I believe, or 7 against the Guardians.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 4-6 their last 10. I mean, shoot, 9-14, and you look at a team like the Giants, only one game up, 10-13.
That's right.
Like, you could, you know,
it just seems so far off. It's like, I'll believe it when I see it.
They're better than the Astros right now.
How about that?
You need
that?
The shovels in the ground here in Sacramento?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Right, you need the shovels in the ground, right?
All right. I guess we'll be back tomorrow talking about this Kings offseason, huh?
Yeah,
Here you go. This is Ozzy, new Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
1, 2, 3, and let's go out to the ball game. Let's go out to the game. Take me in the game. I don't remember what I have to do.
He sounds like Barney from The Simpsons, right?
Three strikes, you're out at the yard.